This is Radio Superior 1945, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1945. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the Great Lakes station, KUWS. Tim Michaels broadcasting to you from the top of the Old Main on the campus of Superior State Teachers College, reminding you that a careless word could mean a needless loss. It's 6 o'clock Central Standard Wartime, Wednesday, January 10th, 1945. Lou Martin is standing by with the news. Rapid Ray is in with sports. And Harriet is in with the Ladies' Aid Society. Why?
Why what?
Why is Harriet in with the Ladies' Aid Society?
I don't know. She just is.
So we'll just be our usual charming selves.
Try not to be too charming. You know, that gets you into trouble.
Not too charming, check. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Siegel Brothers, where they have fleece-lined winter jackets for just $1.65. Siegel Brothers at 1120 Tower Avenue in Superior. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Tim, and good listeners. A tremendous tank fight is underway in Belgium, and Marines are invading Luzon. We begin our shortwave radio report from Belgium.
Hello, this is Belgium. Max Jordan here with the First Army. Lieutenant General Courtney Hodges' First Army has won the biggest tank battle of the Belgium Bulge campaign. The First Army has captured Samri, an important crossroads village. Samri was won after 30 hours of violent clashes of tanks, artillery, and infantry against German panzer units in deep snow. The 2nd Armored Division, which calls itself Hell on Wheels, reached the outskirts of Samri last night and fought through the night to take the village. This victory was won without tactical air support, since once again snowfall kept planes on the ground. The cold was so severe that wounded men froze in place unless they were picked up immediately by medics. Nazi Field Marshal Karl von Rundstedt's panzers struggled to move through the ice fields here. Meanwhile, General George S. Patton's seasoned 3rd Army advanced farther into the southern salient of the Bulge, which is north of Bastogne. The 101st Screaming Eagles Airborne Division is within 4 miles of Houffalize, near the center of the Bulge. The 101st is forcing the Germans to withdraw toward the 3rd Reich. Finally, the 82nd Airborne fought its way into Valsalm, 9 miles south of St. Vith, a major German base in the Bulge. With the First Army in Belgium, this is Max Jordan calling the Central Pacific. Come in, Luzon.
This is the Philippines, General MacArthur's headquarters on Luzon. Mac Johnson reporting. Waiting ashore with his assault troops, General Douglas MacArthur joined tens of thousands of American troops yesterday landing at Lingayen Bay on western Luzon Island. Tank-led spearheads drove south toward Manila today in the climactic showdown fight for the Philippines. Manila is less than 120 miles away through low, dry country that's well-suited for mechanized armor. This landing comes from an 800-ship convoy which stretched out for 70 miles 24 hours after the initial landing to astonishingly light Japanese opposition. Marines of the 6th Army continue to pour ashore. It is the same shore that Japanese attackers landed at 3 years ago in taking Luzon and Manila. It was near here in 1942 that General MacArthur's outmanned and outgunned forces surrendered at Corregidor and Bataan. Yesterday, Lieutenant General Walter Kruger's 6th Army landed along a 15-mile front on Lingayen Gulf, with General MacArthur wading in with the assault wave. Associated Press correspondent C.H. McDonald accompanied the general ashore. He says when the smoke cleared from the naval barrage on the beachhead, Filipino citizens were on hand to greet the Americans. On Luzon, this is Mac Johnson calling Hawaii. Come in, Pacific headquarters.
This is Hawaii, Frank Tremaine reporting from Pearl Harbor. Pacific headquarters triumphantly announced the invasion of Luzon today. It said the enemy was cut off from supply lines and had to rely on what he had for supplies on Luzon. A General Douglas MacArthur communique from Luzon read, "The decisive battle for the liberation of the Philippines and the conquest of the Southwest Pacific is at hand." This has been achieved with light casualties in a strategic surprise landing, unquote. 3,000 small amphibious craft loaded with troops made the landing yesterday and advanced toward Manila today. Associated Press correspondent Spencer Davis, aboard the flagship of the 7th Fleet, Admiral Thomas Kincaid wrote, quoting now, "Vast numbers of troops and enormous numbers of guns and weapons and armored equipment have been placed ashore. Troops work quickly beyond their first day objectives," unquote. Davis reported seeing General MacArthur riding atop the motor box of his invasion craft, adorned with his campaign hat, 5 stars on his collar, and smoking his corncob pipe. "At Pearl, this is Frank Tremaine speaking, calling Washington. Come in, Frederick C. Osman."
"Washington here. The Philippine Islands are known for foxes that smell like skunks. There are no tigers or lions or bears on those islands, but snakes. Woo-wee. They grow boa constrictors 25 feet long over there. The good news is those boas only eat once a month, so the best time to meet one is right after he's eaten dinner. For the last 140 years, the Filipinos thought they had 7,083 islands. But some smart guy who didn't believe everything he read decided to count them. Now we know the Philippines have 7,081 islands. Those islands are populated by people who speak 82 languages, but they do have a couple of things in common. They are often shaken gently by little earthquakes, and they hate Japs. In Washington, this is your man on the spot, Frederick C. Oatsman."
About 6,000 American citizens are believed to still be in the Philippines. State Department officials expect that they'll be liberated once Luzon is freed. The situation of American prisoners of war is uncertain. In fact, there is little hope that many of the men captured during the days of Bataan and Corregidor are still alive. It's estimated that 13,000 Americans were taken prisoner in 1942. Undersecretary of War Robert Patterson says the draft quota must be increased to 150,000 men a month to meet military demands. Testifying before the House Military Affairs Committee, Mr. Patterson says that more than 1.5 million men will be needed for the war effort in 1945. Congressman Andrew May is proposing that worker fight laws for all men 18 to 45 years old. That requires national service of men either in the military or the war industry. KUWS Radio News Time, 6:08. Tim Michaels has these words from our sponsor.
At Siegel Brothers, yes, they have them. Fleece line jackets, $1.65. Stag jackets, $12.95. Sheep line jackets, $7.95. Horsehide mitts, $1.25. Part wool pants, $3.95. Sheep line ulsters, $18.95. Warm, comfortable robes, $6.95. Four buckle overshoes, $3.95. Sheep line shoes, $3.95. And Cromer Blizzard Caps, $1.25. Yes, they have them at Siegel Brothers, 1120 Tower Avenue in Superior.
Many local men are listed on today's war casualty list. Tech 5 Sergeant William Corbin was killed in fighting in Germany December the 15th. His parents live in South Range. Sergeant Harold Anderson, son of Mrs. Matilda Anderson, and Corporal Raymond Matujak, son of Mrs. Catherine Matujak, were wounded in fighting in Europe. Both are from Superior. Also injured in battle is Private First Class Alan Waller. He's the son of Mr. and Mrs. Herbert Waller of Port Wing. The Superior-built cargo vessels have reached Chicago. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson updates our story.
This historic winter journey from the Twin Ports to Chicago through the ice-choked straits of Mackinac ended successfully late last night, Lou. Two 2,400-ton cargo vessels, the Pemiscot and the William Nelson, head south through the Chicago River today to the Mississippi River. The ships will end up in New Orleans. A third cargo ship, the Hidalgo, is stopping in Milwaukee for more outfitting. This is the first ever January trip from Lake Superior to Lake Michigan. Led by the new 10,000-horsepower icebreaker Mackinac, the convoy was in good hands. This opens the question about the possibility of year-round shipping on Lake Superior. The Hidalgo's captain, Leif Almy, praised the power of the Mackinac. The captain said the thickest ice during the journey was close to 2 feet, but the Mackinac made it through, Lou.
Well, thanks, Mike. The days of the Progressive Party of fighting Bob La Follette may be coming to an end. Political reporter John Powell has more from Madison.
Meet a Wisconsin politician of whatever creed these days, and the topic will quickly turn to whether or not Senator Bob La Follette will run for another term in 1946. To a great many Wisconsin citizens, middle-aged or younger, it's hard to imagine a time without a La Follette in the Senate. The present senior senator from Wisconsin has held the seat since he took over for his father in 1926. The senior La Follette was in the Senate for 20 years before that. But according to election returns last month, except for far northern Wisconsin, the Progressive Party is sickly. It is hard to imagine that the party of La Follette will end, but the scuttlebutt is that if Senator La Follette runs for another term, it will be as a Republican. If so, he'll be challenged by war veteran Joseph McCarthy in the primary. McCarthy lost in the primary last year. In Madison, this is John Powell speaking.
The University of Wisconsin will get $90,000 to study polio. UW President Clarence Dykstra says the National Infantile Paralysis Foundation was profoundly impressed with the university's research the past 5 years. President Dykstra also made his resignation effective February the 15th. That's when he became provost at the University of California in Los Angeles. And finally, Tim and good listeners, this good news for the Superior Children's Home. The late Superior druggist, P.A. Lignell, has left most of his estate to the Children's Home. Mr. Lignell passed away December the 17th. He leaves $31,000 for the home. To each clerk who had been in Mr. Lignell's employ for at least a year, he left $100.
Do you think our boss would ever do that for us, Lou?
I'm sure that it would leave at least that amount because he's a generous, big-hearted, giving man.
I thought you said he was tight-fisted. All right, he's probably listening. Yes, I agree. What a generous guy, that Gale Mannion. Thanks, Lou, the best man around. Let's check the forecast for this Wednesday, January 10th, 1945, folks. It's going to be warmer. Tonight's low will be about 4 degrees, and tomorrow's high could reach 15 with light snow flurries. It's music time, and let's kick it off with Louis Jordan and his Timpani Five. This is the new one on the 1945 hit parade. It's called Choo Choo Chaboogie on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Heading for the station with a pack on my back. I'm tired of transportation in the back of a hack. I love to hear the rhythm of the clickety-clack and hear the lonesome whistle, see the smoke from the stack and pal around with Democratic fellas named Mac. So take me right back to the track, Jack. Choo-choo, choo-choo, jaboogie. Woo-woo, woo-woo, jaboogie. Choo-choo, choo-choo, jaboogie. Take me right back to the track, Jack. Your destination, but alas and alack, you need some compensation to get back in the black. You take a morning paper from the top of the stack and read the situations from the front to the back. The only job that's open needs a man with a knack, so put it right back in the rack, Jack. Choo-choo, choo-choo, chaboogie. Woo-woo, woo-woo, chaboogie. Choo-choo, choo-choo, chaboogie. Take me right back to the track, Jack. Thank you.
track. Live the life of Riley in the beaten down shack. So when I hear a whistle, I can peep through the crack and watch the train a rolling when it's calling a jack. For I just love the rhythm of the clickety clack. So take me right back to the track, Jack. Choo choo, choo choo, chibugie. Woo woo, woo woo, chibugie. Choo choo, choo choo, chibugie. Take me right back to the track, Jack.
Yes, let's just keep on with those good time feelings. Here's Artie Shaw and Frenesy on the Martin and McKenna Show. Artie Shaw and Frenesy on station KUWS. Hiya, Lou.
Let me introduce our talented and lovely community editor, Harriet Farig. Good evening, Harriet. It's been a while.
No, thank you, Louis. I'm sorry. We've been so busy fitting pipes and welding at Globe. It may be winter, but that shipyard is very busy.
Nice steel-toed boots. Very becoming.
Oh, but my stockings have little flowers on them, Tim. There's still room for femininity, even while the torch is lit.
Steel-toed boots are especially painful on shins, too.
Well, they don't hurt my shins at all, Louis.
I'm talking about Tim's shins, if he doesn't quit giving you the raspberries.
Really, Louis? I wouldn't intentionally kick Tim.
But accidents happen.
Oh, Gertie, are the girls all here?
Hi, Hare. Thanks for having us over, Hare. So, this is a big-time radio station, huh?
Sure looks small. And you're Jack McKenna?
No, I'm Tim Michaels.
Oh.
You sound disappointed.
Well, I thought you'd be better looking.
It's often a shock when people come face to face with a radio personality.
Now, Mr. Martin, we're very happy to be here.
Who are these people?
Oh, sorry, sorry, boys. These are friends of mine from the Ladies Aid Society. They're touring radio stations today.
I do believe the fellows at WEBC were a bit more on the ball than these two.
They can't all be as good-looking as that Jimmy Payton.
Forget him! He's one of those smoothies, Lois.
Watch out for smoothies. They break too easily.
They're just here to observe. They're giving a presentation about mass communication through radio at our next meeting.
Sounds like they're here to disturb, not observe.
Anyway, I have news about our boys in the service. Torpedo man Harold Ryle of Superior is home on 30 days leave after spending the past year in the South Pacific. It's the first time in 2 years that Mr. and Mrs. M.S. Carlsgaard have seen their son. Flight Officer Harry Jensen just returned to duty after spending the holiday in Superior on furlough. Harry just finished pilot training at flight school. He's in the Air Corps. And the mother of Sergeant Carol Bemis of Birchwood just received a letter from her son today. It was such a relief because she hadn't heard from her boy in ages.
Servicemen need to write home more often. What else do they have to do in their spare time?
Well,
hush now. This is a stirring story. Sergeant Bemis was wounded during landing operations at Leyte in the Philippines. He was wounded in the shoulder and just got out of the Army hospital.
Goodness!
And he wrote to say he's okay now, and the medical men and women in the Pacific are the best. The sergeant says the only trouble is there are so many wounded soldiers and not enough medical people.
Thank you, Harriet and ladies. Please feel free to enjoy a cup of coffee.
I don't know, Lou. Do you think they're ready to be exposed to Rapid Ray? He's next with the sports, folks, so stay tuned. Until then, here's a fine number from Johnny Mercer and the Pied Pipers. This is Accentuate the Positive on the Martin and McKenna Ladies' Day Show.
Gather around me, everybody. Gather around me while I preach some. Feel a sermon coming on me. Topic will be sin, and that's what I'm again. If you wanna hear my story, then settle back and just sit tight while I start reviewing the attitude of doing right. You got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In-Between. You got to spread joy up to the maximum, bring gloom down to the minimum. Have faith or pandemonium, liable to walk upon the scene. To illustrate my last remark,
Jonah in the whale, Noah in the ark.
What did they do just when everything looked so dark?
Man, they said we better accept you hate the positive evil. Mine hate the negative and latch on to the affirmative.
Don't mess with Mr. In Between.
No!
With the sporting news.
Hey, Tim. What's going on here?
Sorry. We do love that Johnny Mercer.
He's the most.
It's Ladies Aid Society today, Ray. Ladies, say hi to Ray.
Hi,
Oh, boy. Hi, ladies, and thank you. I always do better working in front of an audience. So, here's the most from your host of the sporting world, sporting fans. The upper crust of golfdom took to the greens for the opening round of the $7,500 Phoenix Classic. Slammin' Sammy Snead is the hottest of the crew, but Harold Jug McSpadden and Lord Byron Nelson are expected to give Sammy a run for the prize money.
Too much slang for me.
But ooh, what a smoothie.
Yes, well, everyone's excited about the clash of the crosstown rivals Friday night as the East High Orientals hit the hoops with the Central Vikings. Central coach Harry Conley and East mentor Gordon Barr put their quad squads through the hoops this week to get ready. Heavily favored Central is depending on its big scorer, Harry Bud Grant, along with Len Ward, Jim Hogg, and Jim Hoppignon. The Central boys will be hard to stop. And Washington Redskins owner George Marshall is offering jobs to sports writers in case the war cancels Major League sports. Mr. Marshall is a large laundry operator in the nation's capital. Mr. Marshall says sports writers are used to dirty laundry anyway, and that's the unessential war work of the scribes and can be more meaningful in his laundry. Oh, yeah. This is Rapid Ray Paulson reminding you that everyone loves a good sport. How about that, ladies?
Yes.
Splendid use of verbiage.
Good energy, too.
What's a quad squad?
It's a rayism. Well, ladies, what do you think? Did we pass?
I prefer to be graded separately, if you please.
But we're a team.
Okay. We'll sink or swim together. How did we stack up?
Oh, now, boys, you know you're our favorite.
You're not so bad looking after all, Mr. Michael.
Well, people get used to my mug. Hey, let's enjoy one last number before we bid you ladies adieu. This is Harry James and Pretty Kitty Callan, new on the 1945 Hit Parade. Let's listen to It's Been a Long, Long Time on the Martin and McKenna Show.
It's been a long, long time.
New from Harry James and his orchestra with the singing of Kitty Callan. And it's been a long, long time. Lou Martin is in with these news bulletins.
1,100 U.S. liberators in flying fortresses bombarded airfields, bridges, and road junctions along the Belgium Bulge today as the weather cleared. Senator Arthur Vandenberg of Michigan proposed a vote to give the president power to use military force to keep Germany and Japan demilitarized after the war, Tim. Say, what happened to all the ladies?
Yeah, they made a hasty retreat out the door.
Why?
I decided to have a snack.
Did you eat with your mouth open or something?
I'm subtle, not gauche.
Wait a second. You ate a sandwich in front of those women? Jack's sandwich?
They grabbed their coats and made for the door like the place was on fire, all because of my little old Limburger liverwurst and onion sandwich.
I never thought that I'd appreciate one of his infamous sandwiches. Just because you're sitting in for him while he's got time off doesn't mean that you have to eat one of those sandwiches.
Yeah, you want a bite?
I don't appreciate it that much.
Well, that's a wrap-up, friends. Thanks for listening, and remember, kids, tune in every afternoon for Terry and the Pirates, Jack Armstrong, All-American Boy, and Cowboy Tom Mix. We'll be back same time, same place in your radio dial, the good Lord willing, and we have plenty of Limburger and liverwurst. For Lou Martin, this is Tim Michaels reminding you that war bonds mean freedom.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1945, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Fahrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Paul Guggenheimer, Duke Skorich, and Kathy Bergren. All events reported on Radio Superior 1945 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.